seeing this world below for a home above, with the everlasting joys resting in God's love, leaving all care behind, no more sin and shame. I will gladly enter in when He calls my name.
When my name
is called from heaven's portals,
what a time
is waiting up ahead.
We will sing
and praise the Lord eternal. What a happy time, what a joy divine when my name is read. I cannot wait to see loved ones who've gone. What a glad reunion time
with the souls I've won.
Then I shall see my Lord
falling at His feet,
praising Him for His love, worshiping my King.
When my name
is called from heaven's portals,
what a time
is waiting up ahead.
We will sing
and praise the Lord eternal. What a happy time, what a joy divine when my name is read.
When my name
is called from heaven's portals,
what a time
is waiting up ahead.
We will sing
and praise the Lord eternal. What a happy time, what a joy divine when my name is read. What a happy time, what a joy divine when my name is read.
Like I said before, my name is Ben, and I am from here. It's my senior year, and it's been really quick, a lot faster than I expected of going to college. 4 years seems like such a long time. But once it's your senior year, your last semester, it seems like it just flew by and it went so quick. I'm just going to tell you a little bit. You already know what happens at Providence and what goes on. I just want to tell you a little bit about what Providence has done for me. When you first go to college, it's a different experience. You're thinking it's going to be the same as when you're in church, but it's a little bit different. They put you in different ministries. They give you different opportunities that you can be a part of. Now, you can go and you can have a great time serving and doing what God has for you there, or you can go, you can have a bad attitude, and you can sit with all the rest of them that are having a bad attitude. It all depends on you. But let me encourage you guys, give it at least a year, just to the point so you can see what really happens in a church. Being here, sometimes you're not involved in some of the ministries, where when you go to college, you're a part of it, you see what happens. You see right there in front of you, you're a part of bus routes, and not all of them are real close. I got the wonderful, responsibility of being put on a bus route that was 1 hour and 10 minutes from the church, one way. The wonderful town of Belvedere. So it was an interesting thing. You're used to here going on a bus route a couple minutes from the church, and a program gets a lot longer when it's 1 hour and 10 minutes from the church. So it really gives you an opportunity where you can get up in front of the kids. And when you get up in front of them, you start to love them a whole lot more than if you're just sitting in the seat. You develop a love, you develop a burden for the kids that sometimes you don't always have. So let me encourage you guys, just go to Bible college and just the many different things. This year, last semester, I had the opportunity of being the assistant bus director, which being a bus captain, it was a lot of fun. I got to do a lot of different things, but I had no clue what being the assistant bus director had in store. When you get handed a sheet and says, this is the fall program, make it work, and this is your budget, you look at it and you look at them and it's like, how is that supposed to work? But it's amazing the different things that God has allowed me to take part of in Bible college, the many things that I have learned. And it's just a blessing, and I just want to encourage you guys, just give it at least 1 year.
All is still, heaven is silent, as the mighty judge ascends the throne. The book of life is open as countless souls begin to mourn. From the throne comes a voice like thunder, depart, I know. Written in this book are the souls my blood has bought.
Faces turned as
into the courtroom comes the very seed of sin. He who was the saint's accuser must face the charges against him with the fury of all the ages. That demon voice begins to cry, "It's not fair, I almost had you on Golgotha. I watched you die."
Then Satan begins to tremble as his fate to him was known. From the throne came the verdict, "The lake of fire will be your home."
And I see
every knee is bowing, every hand standing at attention as the reading began to sing. Heaven's courts resound the anthem, "You are our Savior, our Lord and King. Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, the Lamb be praised."
Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 17. Exodus, chapter 17. I appreciate young men getting up and singing what they believe. Amen. Touch their hearts. Exodus, chapter 17. It is a joy to have my wife of now 33 years, Cindy. Cindy, if you'll stand over here, appreciate her. Drug her all over the world, and she's still there with me. Amen. And I appreciate her so much. We've got our daughter, Tara, in the back. Tara, if you want to stand. Single? Available? Talk to me about price, and we'll work from there. No. Of course, back there with a good friend, Susie. Susie, good to see you again. I did notice how Caleb had to put in a plug for OBC with all of the Providence folks around. Just as a dad and Cindy as a mom, thank you for taking such good care of our kids. You just never know as your children head off from home, especially when they get hooked up with a ministry and are going to be serving in a church. Of course, we had all the confidence in the world and Brother Miss Angel taking good care of them. But, you always just wonder how they're going to be as far as settling into a new church family. But just from the very first that they were here, you made them feel so much at home, made them feel welcome. And this is home for them now. They come back up and visit us, but this is home for them. And they love you folks, and I hope that they work hard and are a blessing for you. I gave the teenagers a couple of stories about Mick. And if any of the other of you would like some, I got plenty more where those came from. But there are plenty, trust me, on those stories. But thank you for taking such good care of our kids. We do appreciate it so much. You're not a kid anymore when your back goes out more than you do. Anymore, anybody, anywhere I go, people always comment on my hair. And I just make the comment, I said, it might be turning gray, but at least it's not turning loose. But the years do start catching up with you. And when you're 55, it's just things don't fix like they should. I had a diving accident a couple of years ago. I was showing off for the college kids down at Cedar River and just shredded my knee going off the diving board. And I'd done a lot of diving when I was in school. But, that was 40 years and 50 pounds ago. And they just don't heal quite the same. So now some of these lines here are starting to make sense, and they didn't before. You're not a kid anymore when you quit trying to hold your stomach in no matter who walks in the room. You're not a kid anymore when you're proud of your lawnmower. You're not a kid anymore when your arms are almost too short to read the newspaper. Yeah, some of you have been there. You're not a kid anymore when you sing along with the elevator music. You're not a kid anymore when you'd rather go to work than stay home. It's easier. You're not a kid anymore when you enjoy hearing about other people's operations. You're not a kid anymore when your neighbors borrow your tools. You're not a kid anymore when people call at 9 p.m. and ask, did I wake you? That's not all that funny. You're not a kid anymore when you wear black socks with sandals. And all the teenagers are going, ooh, ooh. And the rest of us are going, and yeah, so? You're not a kid anymore when you can't remember the last time you laid on the floor to watch television. You're not a kid anymore when you have a party and the neighbors don't even know it. You're not a kid anymore when you answer a question with, because I said so. Yeah, okay, yeah, well, that one struck a nerve, I can tell that. You're not a kid anymore when you take a nap to get ready for bed. And here's some hymns for people over 60. Give me the old-timers religion. Precious Lord, take my hand and help me up. Just a slower walk with thee. Go tell it on the mountain, but speak up. Nobody knows the trouble I have seeing. Guide me, O thou great Lord God. I've forgotten where I've parked the car. Count your many birthdays. Count them one by one. Blessed insurance. And it is well with my soul, but my knees really hurt. So some of you identify with that. The rest of you, you'll be there one day. You'll be there one day. Trust me. We are in Exodus chapter 17. Hope not to take long tonight. Because your preacher said don't take long tonight. We're in a passage here where the children of Israel, of course, are in a constant state of battle. Starting at verse number 8, they're in a battle with Amalek. It says, and they fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, held up his hands, the one on one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. In this passage, we have an example of a couple of men that were a blessing to their preacher and did what they could to help. I've had the opportunity, because of my background, I was in the service, I'd mentioned to the teens, was in the service for several years. And as we traveled around, the Lord just opened the door for me to be in a position of, in two of the churches, to pastor two of the churches while we were overseas, one in Germany and one in the foreign country of Alabama. And then when we were in Korea, we had the opportunity actually to start a church and to pastor that while I was in the service. And I know how important it is to have individuals that are a help. In this passage, in verse number 12, these men didn't make a comment. Moses didn't make a comment. They simply jumped in and helped. And tonight, I want to take a few minutes and talk to you about tips on how to help your preacher. Now, stick with me. What I'm going to say, in some cases, may be a surprise, but I've got scripture for all of it, and you need to just give me a hearing tonight, and I think that you'll understand the point of the message. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we just pray that you'll bless our time. Thank you for these dear folks. What a blessing they've been to our family. How well they've taken care of their preacher. He and I were in communication constantly when he was in the process of taking this church. And I know, Lord, the state that it was in, spiritual condition, good people, just having some tough times, and they called a young preacher to come and be their pastor. How well they've taken care of him over the years, and how well they've responded to his leadership. Now, as our own kids are here, the blessing that so many of them have been to them, and in allowing them to just settle in and be a part, thank you for that. There's an awful lot of folks in this church that know how to be a blessing to their preacher. But Father, the message tonight is for those maybe that are new, maybe for those that are a little skeptical, maybe those that don't understand how important it is for a man of God to have a host of people that are just willing to be a blessing and help. You always lead through a man, give a man a vision, and then allow a people to help him with that vision. And now all these years later, this great testimony to this area, Faith Baptist Church. So, Father, I just pray that you'll challenge all of us with a message tonight. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to grab this glass here real quick. Some tips on how to help your preacher. First of all, in the area of personal matters, and I may want to take some notes on this so you can really dwell on it a little bit later. The first point that I want to make is that it's absolutely essential that you do what's necessary to keep his salary at a low level. The Bible says in Matthew 19:22, it talks about the rich young ruler. Now, you remember the problem that the rich young ruler had. He came to the Lord. The Lord said, talked to him about being saved. And the Lord finally said, give everything up that you have and then come follow me. And what did the Bible say? He went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had much goods. If you want your preacher to be happy, keep his salary down. Because you don't want him to have the same problem that this rich young ruler had. Too much money, he's not going to be a happy individual. You want to make sure that you, in keeping his salary down, it will help keep him close to God. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord and lean not into thy own understanding. You don't want an individual to be trusting in money. It's more important that he trust in the Lord. So you need to make sure that you keep his salary down. Keep, in terms of his image to the community, it's important that you watch that he doesn't make too much. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It's okay for the chief executive officer of a company to be paid well. That's different. He's responsible for worldly things. Your preacher is not responsible for worldly things. He's responsible for spiritual things. And the Bible says your reward will be great in heaven. So it's essential that you work, if you're going to be a blessing to your preacher, I'm trying to tell you how to be, keep preacher, keep his salary down. Secondly, don't honor his birthdays or anniversaries or church anniversaries. It's important that we does not have to worry about dwelling on the praise of men. John 12:43 talks about that. So it's important for you not to recognize or honor any of his birthdays or anniversaries. The problem is, you might leave somebody else out in the church, and he wouldn't want to feel bad because you recognize his birthday and anniversaries and miss somebody else's. So make sure that you don't pay attention to those, especially church anniversaries. It is so rare anymore for a man to stick around very long in a church that you don't want to remind him of how redundant he has become and how well-known and routine he has become. These other churches have the opportunity for different men to come by once a year. They move along and another one comes along and another one, and everything stays fresh and new. Your preacher's been here for a while. You don't need to remind him of that. It's so rare that that happens for a man to stay in one place. So be careful about honoring some of these special events in his life. Another area of personal matters. Be careful about giving him too much time off. Don't allow much. You don't want him to be lazy. Proverbs 10:16 says, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, not the time off. It's important that a man work hard. We all know that preachers basically only work on Sundays and Wednesdays anyhow. And so don't give him too much time off where he dwells or has the opportunity to labor less and less. Make sure you keep an eye on where he goes. You don't want him to spend time too much going home and seeing family, because Luke 14 says you're to hate your father and your mother. You don't want him to go anywhere to have fun, because Titus 2:6 talks about young men being sober-minded. No hunting, no fishing, no golf, no vacations. Don't encourage him to do that. It's contrary to what will be a blessing to him in being sober-minded. No diversions. Colossians 3:1 says, think on things above. Don't give him too much time off. As the pastor, he needs to concentrate on spiritual things only and not be worried or not be caught up in diversions, distractions. Cindy and I had the opportunity with our anniversary. Now, I'm not the pastor, so that doesn't apply to me. Cindy and I had our anniversary came up and is coming up here quickly, so we took a couple of days off. We went up to Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin. I don't know if any of you have ever been up there before, but this time of year, the eagle migrations come through. And we've been there a couple of times. It's really neat. Last year we went up there, and there were dozens and dozens and dozens of bald eagles up in Prairie du Chien. One tree had 16 of them sitting in one tree. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I see one eagle go by, that's kind of, oh, cool. But, I mean, folks, we're talking, they were everywhere, dozens of them. So we try to get up there and just to get away a little bit. Well, you don't want a pastor to do that because it diverts his attention away from those things which are spiritual and those things which he should be dwelling on. He probably should just stay in his office and study most of the time. So you want to be careful in these areas of personal matters. Keep his salary down. Don't honor birthdays or anniversaries. And be careful about giving him too much time off. Don't make any effort to be friendly. You don't need to greet him. You don't need to say hi. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who hath friends must first show himself friendly. So it's his responsibility to come to you and make a gesture of being friendly, not yours to go to him. So don't say hi. Don't shake hands. Don't do any of that unless he goes out of his way to show himself friendly. He's got a lot more on his mind than you anyhow. He's a preacher. He doesn't need friends. If so, he would have singled you out among the hundreds that you have here and made an effort to come to you and be friendly. We were at church one time down in Durango who had this thing right. It probably had, take the center section and double it going back, huge auditorium. And so we went in, Independent Baptist Church, we went in and we sat on this side over here. There's 20 of us in all, in the whole congregation, and five were us. And the preacher got up to preach, and everybody was here, nobody was here, and preached the whole message to this side. Never one time recognized that there were any visitors there. I mean, we were rather obvious. We were 1/4 of the congregation. And after the service was over, never came up and shook hands or said hi. Well, that's appropriate. He's the pastor. He doesn't need to put himself out and make an effort to greet or say hi. So you need to be very cautious in this area of being too friendly. Make him make all the effort and overtures and gestures initially. So you have some personal areas that you want to be very careful of to be able to help your preacher out. Let me now give you some family matters. Now you need to be taking notes, folks. Some of you are just sitting there with a stunned look on your face. You need to take some notes to make sure you get this. Go back home, read through it, so you can follow through on some of this. Family members, scrutinize everything that they do. 1 Corinthians 1:8 says, who shall conform you to the end that you may be blameless? The family should have a higher standard than anybody else in the church. They are the pastor's family. The pastor pastors the church, so the wife needs to be have a higher standard than any other ladies in the church. The kids need to have a higher standard than any of the others in the church, and you need to hold them to those standards. They're the leaders. They're the examples. So watch very closely everything that they do. And then criticize everything that you see. You see the kids talking too loud. I know Cherith has a problem with that. Running in the hallways. Chewing gum. Anything inappropriate. Immediately go to the pastor and tell him. He would want to know if his family was not upholding that high standard that they're supposed to have. James says, confess your faults one to another, so you should go and confess their faults to him. They're the spiritual leaders. The preacher would want to know if his family isn't perfect. Next, expect them to do everything. Kids ought to work bus routes, go soul winning, do all the cleaning up, mow the lawn, water the lawn. The wife ought to work the nursery, teach, cook. If there's a special day or something, ought to be in the choir. They ought to be involved in everything. Colossians 3:23 says, whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord. If the family doesn't work hard, who will? They're supposed to set the example. So expect the family to do everything. Now, in ministry matters, if you want to be a blessing to your preacher and help him, bring all your personal problems to him, no matter how small or insignificant. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens." And so he needs to be able to bear your burdens. The dog dies, let him know. Lawnmower quits, he needs to know about it. Wash machine has a leak, he needs to know about it. You need to tell him about all this. And any time something happens, you need to go to him. And there are some good times to do it. Right before the service is best. Because you know where he is. You know what he's going to be doing next. So catch him right then and just tell him everything that's a problem. It's fresh on your mind, it'll be fresh on his mind, and it's easy to catch him, you know, right where he's going to be right before the service. Bring up all the ministry problems that you find. Light bulb's out, he needs to know about it. Floor isn't mopped someplace, he needs to know about it. Something in your area isn't just right, he needs to know about it. Now, don't do it yourself, he'd want to be able to see it. So make sure you leave it just like it is. And go to him and tell him the problem that's in that particular area. He'd want to know the details. Now, don't go to some staff person who's responsible for that area. We know they're lazy anyway and won't do anything about it. But the pastor is the man who's in charge and responsible for all this, so you need to go to him. Next, criticize his messages. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Anything that you find about his messages, he needs to hear about it. He'd want to know if he has a slip of the tongue or some kind of expression error. You need to go to him and let him know about it. He'd be embarrassed to find out and repeat it sometime later on anyway. So if you see anything that's not quite right, you need to go to him and tell him about it and do it as soon as possible. The best time for this is right after the service. If there's something you didn't agree with or something he'd misspoke, then get to him. Shaking hands time is a great time. He's standing right there and you can spend as much time as you want to explaining to him the problems that he had in that particular message. Question everything he says and anything that he proposes. Proverbs 11:14 says that in the multitude of counselors there is safety. And so if he brings up an idea, you need to question that. Doubt what he says until you check it out. TV evangelists are probably the best resources. Visitors are good too because they have a fresh look on things. So if something doesn't seem quite right, bring it up to a visitor. Ask them their opinion about it and get a fresh approach on all of this. So we've talked a little bit about personal matters, how you can help your preacher. We've talked a little bit about family matters, how you can help your preacher. And we've talked a little bit about ministry matters on how you can help your preacher. And the next point that I want to make is that if you agreed with absolutely anything that I just said, you're backslidden and you don't deserve to be a member of this church. Now, about 2 points into this, for most of you, frowns. Light bulbs started going on. But there may be some of you in this room that you have such a cold heart, you don't understand the man of God that you've got here, and you don't understand how close you are to losing them if you don't take care of them. I had a good friend of mine, pastored a church for 6 years. The church was growing, was running 300-400 people in it, had been there 6 years, and was still renting his home. We happened to be visiting at the time, and I was staying in one of the head deacon's homes. And I told that deacon, I said, "You better start taking care of your preacher, or God's going to put him someplace with people that appreciate what he's doing." Now, folks, don't you for a minute judge your preacher and the blessings that he should be having in his life and compare it to what you have or don't have. Don't you dare do that. The Bible is full of examples and illustrations about how the man of God looks out for you spiritually, and you are required by the Word of God to take care of him physically and monetarily. The Bible talks about don't muzzle the ox that treadeth grain. The Bible talks about that the laborer is worthy of his hire. Paul talked about all the time. Paul said, you know, and as a matter of fact, if you study Paul, Paul made the comment, he said, you know, all my life I've worked and taken care of my own needs. And he says, the reason I did that is because I didn't want any of you in these fledgling churches that he was building out there to be able to say anything about me. But there's a passage where Paul said, I think I've done you wrong, though. Because I haven't taught you the responsibility that you have to take care of the man that's feeding you spiritually. And Paul fixed it for the guys coming behind him. Folks, you have a responsibility to your preacher to take care of him. You have, some of you in this room have no idea. Now, Terry Angel is a personal friend of mine. But it has nothing to do with what I'm telling you tonight. I'm trying to tell you, folks, you have one of the great churches of America right here. Some of you don't realize it. You don't travel. Cindy and I get around. We've been in churches across the country. And you don't find them like this on every street corner. You don't find men of God who stick around long enough to be a blessing in a community. Most of them, it's a stepping stone to something else. And your preacher has been here, and he's stayed with you through thick and through thin. He has battled and slaved over this place. And for the most part, as far as I know, you all have been a blessing to him and have helped and gone right along with him. And that's why you have the church you have here. But I'm here to warn you, don't let it stop. Now, if he were not here tonight, I wouldn't have felt liberty to preach this. And to be honest with you, in most churches, I wouldn't have liberty to preach this. But I know most of you folks, and you know me. We believe in this ministry, or they would not be here. And I'm trying to tell you tonight, the number one way that you can make sure this thing keeps blowing and going for God is you take care of your preacher. Some of these areas that I talked about here, I talked about in his personal areas, salaries, birthdays, and whatnot. Luke 10:7, the laborer is worthy of his hire. I mentioned a couple of these before. 1 Corinthians 9:7-11, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. 1 Timothy 5:17 talks about, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of what? What? Double honor. Now, there's a real indication there that says the man of God ought to be taken care of well enough where he has no needs that he has to worry about whatsoever in terms of physical needs are concerned. Folks, men can only concentrate on what they have time to concentrate on. And if you require your preacher to be worrying about monetary things, and I don't know real men of God that are concerned about being rich or having a lot of stuff, and I know your preacher real well. But folks, if they have to worry about just basic needs, they can't be worrying about taking care of you spiritually. And that's what he's chartered to do. And that's what 1 Corinthians is talking about here. It says, especially they who labor in the world and doctrine for you. You need to take care of his needs. And by the way, because there's always a hypocrite in here somewhere that says, yeah, Brother Angel told you to preach this. No, he didn't. And like I said, if he were here, I wouldn't preach this. And if it were in most churches, I wouldn't, because I don't know the people there. But I know you, a lot of you folks here. And I know you appreciate this ministry. You appreciate how God has used your preacher and his family. And I'm telling you how you can keep it going. God's not done around this place. He's not done with the vision your preacher has. And I'm sure he's communicated some of that to you. But I'm here to tell you, he hadn't communicated everything to you that he sees for this place one day if you just keep going. But it's up to you to support him. Folks, like I said, back in Exodus, when we looked at Moses sitting there and Aaron Hur holding his hands up, every time his hands faltered a little bit, the nation of Israel started to fail. And those two guys propped his hands right back up, and Israel went right back to it. One man can't do it. One man and his family can't do it. But one man, his family, and a people can make a difference and get the job done. So you need to take care of his personal needs. Family members. Family matters. First Timothy says, if a man desires the office of a deacon, he desires a good thing. And as you read through that passage, there's 10 verses which speak to the qualification of a pastor. There's one that mentions the wife, but there are absolutely none that hold the wife and kids to a higher standard. They're folks and church members just like you are. Now, you let them worry about the standard they set for themselves. But I'm here to tell you, I was a principal of a Christian school for a long time. I still teach in a Christian school. And one of the tragedies, one of the shames are people require more out of preacher's kids and some of the staff kids than they do other kids. That's wrong. They're kids just like any other kid. Now, you let the parents worry about the standard for them. But as far as you're concerned, they're just kids like any other kids. She's just a woman in the church like any other. And you need to treat them kindly, just like you would anyone else. Now, please, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You should honor them, especially the wife. That's not what I'm saying. But don't set them on some kind of a pedestal with unrealistic expectations. They don't deserve that any more than any of you do. They're human beings that just want to serve the Lord like anybody else, who happen to be hooked up to the preacher up there, who always is getting pot shots taken at him. So you watch out for his family and leave them alone. Care for them. Watch out for them. Be a blessing to them. And I promise you, as you are a blessing to your preacher's family, you are a blessing to him. And I know here that his family is well taken care of. I understand that. Again, folks, I'm just trying to help you to understand how important it is that you get behind your preacher. Ministry matters. A pastor has a heart for his people. Pastor cares about you. Brother Angel cares about you. He wants to know when you're having tough times. I got all over Ben and Matt for not letting us know about Miss Payne up there. We will certainly be praying for you, lady, and your tests on Wednesday. But you have to know, Brother Angel's agonizing over this. That's one of his dear church members. Been praying. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants the best for you. But folks, would you use some common sense sometimes? You know, there are issues that come up in your life. You just need to handle it. You ever heard that? The concept that there are high-maintenance people and there are low-maintenance people. Do you understand what that means? And I don't mean to be unkind to some, but high-maintenance people means you got to be pumping them up all the time. You got to be stroking them all the time. You got to be willing to listen to them all the time. Otherwise, they just fall apart. You need to just be able to handle things yourself a little bit, okay? And not run to the preacher with every little thing that comes up. He's really concerned about hearts, strokes, cancer, building programs. And you know what? He probably cares about some little gal whose dog died. But he really shouldn't have to worry about some adult whose dog died. Your lawnmower doesn't work. Your washing machine broke down. I mean, come on, folks. Use your head a little bit. This man of God has been put here, and he's a human being like anybody else. He doesn't have infinite capacity. And some of you in here, it's like you need a human crutch of some kind. And I don't know anybody in particular. But in an audience this size, in a group like this, there's always somebody. You have to have a human crutch someplace where if anything goes wrong, they got to hear about it. And you've got a kind preacher who cares about you, and he'll listen. But you know what? Enough's enough. If you've got a need, if you've got a problem, sure, go to them. But if some ticky-tack little thing, folks, leave them alone. And I can say this because I'm not on staff here. You're not paying me nothing. But I know what it's all about. I know what it's like to stand at the back of the church and have some woman tie you down for about 15 minutes with some stupid little thing while visitors are flooding by that I didn't get a chance to say hi to, and people that have huge needs coming up that I didn't get a chance to talk to them, and they tie you down because the cat died or whatever. Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls. You can have great things happen around here. You can have amazing things happen in this ministry. But you can't be tying your preacher's hands. And you can do that if you're not careful about some of these ministry kind of things. Some of you in here are leaders. Some of you staff people. The reason the preacher hires you guys is not to create bigger problems for him. The reason he hired you guys is to take things off of him. Now, after 15 years in the Army, I understand what a staff's all about. My job as a staff member is to do as much as I possibly can so the boss doesn't have to. And if it's something I can do, he shouldn't have to do it. And you guys, everything you do ought to be oriented to freeing him up to do things that you can't do. And there are things you can't do, only the pastor can do. And you need to do it to the absolute best of your ability, where he doesn't have to follow around behind you. He doesn't have to check up on you. He gives you a job to do, and it gets done, and he doesn't have to worry about it. That's what you guys are responsible for. And I think he hired some great men, by the way. Well, for the most part. You got some great staff guys here. I really believe they'll uphold their part of the bargain. But they're not the ones that get everything done around here. Folks, all I got to do is come down to convention and see the host of lay people in this church making this thing happen. There's some great people in this church. And God brought you here because you got a great preacher in the pulpit. And a great preacher can only do things with great people in the pews, and you have them here. Now, there are more than have stepped up and demonstrated. There's some of you in here that could be a much bigger blessing to your preacher than you have been so far. Because you've got talents, you have abilities, you have character. But for whatever reason, you haven't availed yourself or made yourself available to him to be used. You need to do that. Like I said, I come down here at convention. Basically, the layman of this church is running that thing. And it runs like a clock. That's greatness. And your preacher doesn't even have to worry about this thing. He comes by, sees what's going on, and heads right on. Folks, if he had to be here for every minute of everything that happened, he would not have the opportunity to do other things that he needs to be doing. In this area of ministry matters, it really boils down to how much of the load are you all going to pick up and ease him of, and these guys here, because you can. I know up at Northwest, there's a fraction of the people that carry the majority of the load. And I guess that's probably one of the weaknesses as you grow, is because your preacher's not able to buttonhole every one of you and say, hey, can you sing in the choir? Hey, can you do that? Can you do this? When there's 20 or 30 or 40, he can do that. But he can't now. It's time for you to step up and make a difference. Folks, all these things that I talked about before were meant to kind of tweak you a little bit and make you think a little bit. You take care of the man of God, and you're going to see some amazing things happen here. Moses didn't ask for advice. Moses didn't need any physical help. He didn't need criticism. All he needed was for a couple of men to support him by holding his hands up. The best thing you can do to make sure this church continues the success it's enjoyed is to hold your preacher's hands up. I was at a church not too long ago, and seemed to be a decent church. Pastor had been there for a while. Within about 2 months, he found out that there had been an undercurrent going on in that church. And one night, at the end of the service, one of the church people stood up and said, we don't want this kind of church anymore, talking about a soul-winning, revivalistic church. And so we've decided we don't want you as our pastor. You'll have 2 weeks to leave. Now, frankly, that church is done with. And we understand that. But just as surely, this church is done with if you stop supporting your preacher. in the little things. Men in this church, you ought to be aware of whatever needs he has. Now, he's not an extravagant individual, but you ought to make sure that his salary is adequate. I got a real problem with people thinking that preachers shouldn't be paid commensurate with their leadership that they provide. What he does here is as important as any CEO in any company, any place. Now, we're not after worthy goods, please understand. But by the same token, it shouldn't be a struggle for existence, and it is in some churches. You should watch over and make sure that his personal needs are taken care of. You should make sure that his family's needs are taken care of. If a man's family's needs aren't taken care of, that diverts his attention. And the ministry needs of this church, you ought to do all that you can to help out. Short, sweet, to the point. One of the great churches of America is right here. And you did it by supporting your preacher. Are you going to keep it by doing the same thing? Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. I understand this isn't a salvation message for the most part. I would suspect everyone here is saved on the way to heaven. If not, if there's one person here who hasn't trusted Christ as their Savior, you're not 100% sure you're on your way to heaven. You can know. The Bible teaches that you can know 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven. Let me just ask this question real quick. How many in here know? You know for a Bible reason you're on your way to heaven. You've trusted Christ as your Savior. Just slip your hand up real quickly, please. Thank you. You can put them down. Most of the people in the room. There may be one or two in here. You couldn't raise your hand. I'm not 100% sure I'm on my way. And you say, Brother Hall, I'm not 100% sure. Would you pray for me? I will. I'm not going to call you out. I'm going to call you by name. But I'd be glad to pray for you. Would you just slip your hand up and say, Brother Hall, I'm not 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you pray for me? Hand of a young person. Any others? Now, again, clearly this message tonight was for you as a church body. I have no idea at what stage you're at right now. I have no idea what programs your preacher's looking at implementing. I don't know where you're at with building programs or any of that. But I can tell you, Brother Angel has more vision and is not done, doesn't believe God's done with what's going on here. But you will dictate it. It's up to you. What are you going to do about it? And I mentioned before, there are some great people in here that are doing a lot. But I know there are others here that could be a huge blessing to your preacher. There may be some of you in here, you might not be able to do a whole lot, but you can go to the preacher and say, you know what, preacher? Every night on soul winning, I'm going to dedicate to praying for the soul winners to go out. Would you give me a list of names, and I'm going to pray for soul winners going out? You know, that's a major contribution. There may be some in here that says, you know, preacher, I'm not going to knock on nobody's door. I'm not sharing a gospel presentation. It scares me to death. I understand I'm supposed to be working the Great Commission. But I tell you what, preacher, if you can find somebody that will do all the talking, I'll go along. I'll be the silent partner. Folks, I've had the same man for 15 years go out with me on Thursday night soul winning. He has never made a gospel presentation. He's never talked to anybody about anything. He comes and picks me up. He buys the Pepsi, and I do all the talking. We call it even. But you know what that's done? It's enabled two soul winners to split up. And now we have twice as many people out there because of him. There may be somebody in this room who said, Brother Hall, I can do that. I can do that. I don't want to say nothing. You got to promise me I won't have to say anything. Well, your preacher will take you, pair you up with somebody to do all the talking, and you can just be a great silent partner out there. How about a nursery? You can work in a nursery. Choir. Whatever it is. See, God never put you as a member of this body. It's the example is our physical bodies. Every piece, every part of our physical body is important and plays a role. God would never have made you a part of this physical body if you didn't have a role. And if you're not fulfilling it, somebody else has to, and it's always less effectively. When I blew my knee out, I could still teach class. I could still song lead. I could still do all that stuff, but it was harder, and the rest of my body had to make up for it because my knee wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. There's probably some people in here, you're not doing what you could do. So others have to fill in for you, and it's not as effective as it could be. How about it tonight? Great things in store, but how well do you support your preacher? Father, thank you for your word. Just a simple thought, simple passage. Lord, I pray that every person in this room will just stop and consider, do they appreciate what they have? I don't think in some cases they understand what a great church they're a part of. And so, Father, I just pray that you'll bless, challenge the folks with the message. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let's stand. The piano's going to start to play. Maybe you need to come tonight and you need to say, Lord, show me what I can do. Lord, show me what I can do. I want to be a blessing to my preacher. How about it this evening? How about it this evening? Let's go, folks. You can say, Lord, I want to make sure that I appreciate my church. I think I do. But Lord, if there's something I can do, help me to look for that and do it. How about it this evening? How about it? We're not going to tarry long. But if you value your church, are you supporting your preacher like you should? How about it tonight? How about it tonight? At the very least, you ought to be thanking the Lord for what He's given you here. At the very least, how about it tonight?